Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the championship rounds of Joe, Low, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game with a twist. Dibs is out, John Dickinson in his stead. Happy to have him along for the ride. Show brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. Keep them coming on the Chilton Auto Body text line. It's the same number as the phone number, so you can weigh in via the phone lines as well. 888-957-9570. We got a lot to get to over the final hour. Hit us up with any of your topics if you'd like to jump in. A half hour ago, we just revealed number 10 for the fan vote on the top 10 greatest athletes in Bay Area sports history. We'll be doing the even numbers all week on this show, every day at 8:30. Number 10, 8, 6, 4, and 2. 2 being on Friday. The afternoon guys, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, will do the even numbers, or I should say the odd numbers, excuse me, every day at 3:30. 9, 7, 5, 3, and 1, which will come Friday afternoon. Number 10, JD, Madison Bumgarner. Now a member of the Arizona Diamondbacks, gone but not forgotten. The fan vote had him 10. You had him on your list at 8. Were you surprised that the fans, given that there are a lot of A's fans as well, would have allowed him to get onto the top 10? How much of this do you think is recency bias, I think is what I'm getting at?
I think a lot of it is. It has to be. I'm stunned, frankly, that Madison Bumgarner made the fan vote. That really does surprise me. And I think a big part of it is the fact that he is viewed as... It also goes to show how much weight is put on the postseason and specifically winning championships in terms of the general sports conversation of the day. But it does surprise me because, you know, he is not had a Hall of Fame regular season career. You know, so when you're talking about the greatest of the great, you know, if you take the postseason out of it, yeah, Madison Bumgarner is a very good pitcher. But when you add the postseason in, and specifically when you add the World Series in, and you add the elimination games in, like the two wild card games that he pitched in, then you make a case for an all-time great. And to see that, you know, win out, I guess, in this was a little surprising for me.
Lo, were you surprised to see Bumgarner make the top 10?
I think that just is it. I think the or got him in, Joe. Because if I was going to ask you guys the question, if you said just career, if you had both these guys' career, not watching they play and just going by pure stats, would you say Madison Bumgarner had a better chance of getting Hall of Fame or Buster Posey? Who would you guys say out of those two? As far as
Posey.
You're looking at a Hall of Fame, okay.
Posey. That's for me. I don't know, JD. What about you?
No, I think it would be Posey because he won an MVP, he won a Rookie of the Year in the regular season, and he has the three championships. If there's anything that hurts Posey, it's just he wasn't great for long enough, and now at the back end, he hasn't been really good maybe for long enough either. Like if he had had, you know, two more years, like let's say his 15 and 16 years, I think he'd be in. If he had had two more years like his MVP year, or close to his MVP year, I think he'd be in. But the decline is almost a two-tiered decline. He went from MVP level, great player level, to really good, and then to kind of average. And it did it all very quickly.
I'd agree.
So if you guys are saying that, then, if you guys are saying that, you look at his MVP level and all the career and what he's done, so how is he, and he won championships because he was with Madison, so how is he not on the top 10, or how is he not a better Giant than Madison? What is it that separates these two? Is it the or, like I'm saying, that bravado? What's the difference?
Well, we're not sure what the rest of the list looks like yet, so perhaps Posey could get in above him. Do you think Posey gets in above him? Do you think with nine more players to go, you don't
no
see
chance.
That happening?
I don't, JD.
You don't see it happening either?
No chance. And I think
Very
there's a little recency bias there, too, because Posey's been on the decline for the last couple of years.
Yeah, then I would say that then they got this wrong. Because Bumgarner's career, he's 119-92. His ERA is 3.13. These are all his regular season numbers. There's nothing there that pops off the page. He went to 4 All-Star games. He never won a Cy Young. He never actually got close to a Cy Young. And that's it. Now, postseason career goes up against anyone. Robert Horry, for example, the all-time greats of postseason play, he's there. But when you're basing it on regular seasons, Posey gets the edge. And Posey was a huge part of those World Series wins as well.
Right.
So if Bumgarner's on and Posey doesn't make it, I think that's a huge miss. That I left both off my list. But no one liked my list to begin with, so I'm not going to rehash any of that now. But that's the point. How many Giants are going to get in ahead of him? You'd have to figure Bonds for sure. I don't think a single person has left Bonds off the list. So Bonds is going to make it. And then possibly Willie Mays, possibly Willie McCovey. Is there anyone else that would have a case to get in above? Lincecum's a fan favorite, but he's not going to get in ahead of Bumgarner, right?
No.
No.
Go ahead, so Bob. Really just Bonds, Mays, and McCovey would be the only three.
Right, and I think there's going to be only one. I don't think there's going to be two. But that's my point. That's why I'm saying Madison Bumgarner. When I was talking about how big and his size, and you're like, oh, you guys give me a hard time. Those are those little things those little hidden factors that I think that put him on this list. What he did in the postseason, how he went about it, is bigger than life. So that's something that took him off the chart, and he won championships. So. I think that's got to be the only reason why. That's why I wanted to ask you guys, how'd you guys feel about him and Buster?
Yeah, it's the championships, but Posey would get ranked ahead of him if that was up to me, and I believe JD said he agrees.
Yeah, the three.
No, but JD didn't.
Faces.
JD had a chance. No, JD, hold on. You had a chance to do that, to put Buster
what do
on
you
your
have?
List.
Who do you have? Do you have Bumgarner ahead of Posey?
I'm not.
No, I didn't have him. Yeah, my point is, I didn't have either. I'm just saying, Joe. No, my point is, I'm saying I didn't have him on the list. JD had Madison on the list, but he don't have Buster. So I'm wondering what was that decision going. You said he's already a Hall of Famer. You saying that Buster has a better chance of being a Hall of Famer. So I'm asking you, when it came down to that on your list, why?
It came down to impact on championships, and I felt that Bumgarner had more of a direct impact on championships. I had him as similar regular season-wise. I think the longevity of being very good has been longer for Bumgarner in the regular season. Posey has been better at his peak in the regular season than Bumgarner. Posey was in the first group off for me, but I think
don't
a lot
use
of it
that
is,
your honorable mention.
No.
Stop.
No, he's not on the list. He's not on the list. I mean, not everybody can make the list, though. So I
my
mean,
not
I
mentioned mean, honorable mentions.
Right, right.
That was such a great line last week. I moved right past it. I'm like, this fool, I'm not dealing with that. And then you did, and I'm like, all right, we'll get on this. Such a great line.
Yeah, that was the intent.
That was awesome.
You'd be all over me for that.
All right, speaking of Giants pitchers, if you go back in time 7 years ago today, there's a moment worth celebrating. If Nice Guy Steven's ready, take a listen to this.
Right field, and he dives! He's got it! Hunter Pence robbing Amarista of a hit, something no Padre has had in 8 innings against Lincecum.
July 13, 2013, 7 years ago today, Timmy Lincecum with a 148-pitch no-hitter in a 9-0 win over the San Diego Padres. Lincecum's stat line for that day, 9 innings, 0 hits, 0 runs, 13 strikeouts, 4 walks. That highlight was Hunter Pence in the bottom of the 8th inning making a ridiculous grab to keep the no-hitter intact as the Giants took it to the 9th inning. And that was at Petco Park. I want to play this again. This is at Petco Park. Listen to the screaming on the catch.
Right field, and he dives! He's got it! Hunter Pence robbing Amarista of a hit, something no Padre has had in 8 innings against Lincecum.
13 strikeouts, 8 fly ball outs, 6 ground ball outs. Now, we're talking about Timmy Lincecum, but we just got off Bumgarner being named by the fans as the number 10 greatest Bay Area athlete of all time. Jersey sales. Which player do you think sold more jerseys over the course of, say, start to finish? Did Bumgarner outsell Timmy, or did Timmy outsell everybody? How do you think that played out, JD?
I would think Timmy outsold everybody.
Is there anyone that would be even close? Like, who would be number 2 over the last decade plus?
Probably Posey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pose.
Probably Posey.
Better so you talk Madison about the 3. Vote. I love the fact that Bumgarner gets on the top 10, but in terms of popularity, it's not even close when it comes to Lincecum, right?
Yeah, no. And Lincecum started earlier. And look, Lincecum at his peak, I think, was more dominant than Posey or Bumgarner. His peak was just shorter. It's also the personality and the hair and the, you know, just his stature, being a little guy that was able to be so dominant and throw so hard and the nasty breaking pitches and his motion and all of that, his wind up, like it was all, I mean, it was a phenomenon. But I think when you look at the 3 faces of the Giants championship run, like if you had to pick 3 faces, I think it's in any order. It's Bumgarner, it's Posey, and it's Bruce Bochy, because they were at the front. Like, Posey was the best position player for all 3 teams. Bumgarner was the most impactful pitcher in all 3 World Series. Lincecum was the most dominant pitcher the first time in terms of that season. Matt Cain was the ace in 2012, and then Bumgarner was the lead guy in 2014. But as far as how they actually pitched in the postseason, Bumgarner was the only one that was very good in all 3. Cain was, you know, barely even pitched. Cain was on fumes in 12. Lincecum was out of the rotation in 12 and 14. So Bumgarner was the only one that had a significant impact in all 3 runs.
Who gets the 4 spot then? If you had to do your Rushmore of the run, Boch, obviously, Posey, obviously, Bumgarner. You got to find a 4th guy. Who ends up getting the 4th spot? Cody Ross?
I think it would probably be Lincecum.
What about Pat Burrell? A lot of people love Pat Burrell.
What about Pablo Sandoval?
Pablo.
Major league record for hits in that World Series against Kansas City. Like, that's an incredible feat.
He was a crowd favorite. And then, and how many was, when you see Pablo was here for all of them. He was big in these series. He did a good job.
Literal and figurative. You got to say that.
Yeah.
And he didn't play much in the first one, but he was on the team.
How about the Iron Man? He played. He was in 2 of them, right? He didn't make. They brought him back this year. Makes a
Pence,
dive and catch. Yeah, Hunter.
Yeah.
Hunter,
Pence was acquired in 12 in the season.
He was big. He was not there for all 3, but he was big because everyone always relates back to that locker room speech he gave when barely anyone knew him, and he kind of galvanized everybody and was the emotional force that kind of drove it through. So without him, you don't get the triplets. Like, you don't catch, win all 3 without him.
I think he was a little bigger than Pablo, JD.
Yeah, I mean, he had a massive impact on 2 of the 3, and Sandoval had, I think, a massive impact on 2 of the 3.
What are we supposed to make of no James Harden and no Russell Westbrook in the Orlando bubble yet? So Houston's there. Everybody's there. Practices have started for most of the teams, if not all. You got there. You had to go through your 2 days of quarantine, take your test, and if you're good to go, practices have started. Don't tell that to the Los Angeles Lakers, who already lost Rajon Rondo for 6 to 8 weeks, broke his thumb in practice, I believe, over the weekend. So if the Lakers make the finals, he should be good to come back. But this is an injury suffered in practice, so they don't get the opportunity to replace him on the roster. So far, Houston is there, but Harden and Westbrook are not. Mike D'Antoni met with the media, very cryptic like everyone has been. I don't think the belief is that they've tested positive for anything. It's just that they don't really want to be there right now, that they're training on their own, they're getting themselves into shape, and that right before they need to kind of get there for the start of games, they're going to go ahead and show up on their time frame. What do you make of that, Lo? Like, if you're the Rockets, those are supposed to be the leaders of the team, so you'd probably want them there. But then on the flip side, this situation is so unprecedented. Like, can you even get mad at the guys?
I don't think you can get mad. I think you know, as long as the coach tells his players, hey, look, those 2 guys, they don't need it. Hey, they've been working out. This is what they're doing. They're going to be ready to roll when they get here. I don't think guys get, they're not upset. They're not upset with these guys, but when they get here, they need to be ready to roll and to get to see what kind of shape they're really in. I think all the videos that we've seen, those guys, what they've been doing, they're pros. They want to get it. And you hear, you had people on the show saying this is a team that's poised to make a push. If they get hot, they're saying they can be a team that can even unseed the Lakers and probably even, you know, and possibly the Clippers. So with that being said, I got to see it to believe it. But that just means that a lot of people have a lot of stock and a lot of faith in this Houston Rocket team that I just don't see where they're seeing it. I don't see it.
JD, what are you thinking with the Rockets?
I mean, honestly, I think, you know, Mike D'Antoni, I mean, he said these are things people are dealing with when he was asked about why they weren't there and the decline. I mean, look, I think they're I know you didn't really want to go there. I think it's fair to wonder if they actually did both get test positive.
Really?
COVID, and that maybe there's just a privacy issue and they didn't want it out there. And it puts the Rockets kind of in that awkward position that a lot of teams are in right now where they, you know, if the player doesn't okay it, then everybody could kind of know or speculate without knowing based on who's there and who's not. So we'll have to see. I mean, time will tell on that one if those two guys, you know, come out and say it, or maybe that's not the case. My initial reaction, though, was your reaction, which was, of course, those guys didn't show up. Kawhi was taking a delayed, you know, I think Kawhi's showing up late. It's like, yeah, they'll get around to it when they want to. Because, again, for them, the eight
You think
game,
they got the Rona? You really do, JD? I don't think they got
the
Rona.
It's possible.
I think it's possible, but I don't know.
Does Harden strike you as a guy that could stay out of the strip clubs and avoid the social life for the last few weeks?
They're closed, Joe.
Not in Texas. Texas is free reign. Texas, they're doing everything. In Texas?
Even if they were in Los Angeles, I mean, things are closed down, but Los Angeles, that Southern California has been by far the worst part of the state of California. I mean, their numbers have...
But these guys don't like to be out of
public. Free-for-all down there.
Yeah,
it
but
is.
Joe,
you're ruining it for the rest of us, Southern California.
That's
Joe,
a fact.
But those guys are.
Don't get me started,
JD. But
you
these
do
are guys,
seem hot on this. Are you?
Yeah,
you seem,
you,
JD. I don't you, see you get
no,
hot
I'm
this
not,
often.
No. I'm not.
It's a hot take, JD.
Good,
you're going to do it,
JD. Those are facts. JD, the runway's clear. You can land it, Ghost Rider. You're approved for flyby.
Land it.
Bring it home. Breaking news, though.
Bring it home.
I don't want the breaking news. I want the take on Southern California, and then you can give me the breaking news. That's
yes.
The deal.
No, I'm just – there's no take on Southern California. They've just messed up the numbers for the state. And,
come on,
and
keep
led
going.
To, and
bash
led,
them.
To, led to some regulation changes here and there.
They had – Southern California was locked it up. They locked it up quick.
Sometimes
but how about the governor? How about old Newsom, old Joseph? This Joker, he locks down and locks it all down, but he keeps his winery open.
Yeah, my dad hit me up about that yesterday. Yeah, we did the
that
family.
Was like a week and a half ago.
Right,
I know.
Right,
we had the family. We had the family Zoom yesterday, yeah, and we're going through some stuff, and everyone's asking how everyone's doing, and he's going nuts because he lives in Florida and it's chaos right. Down there, and he doesn't even want to go outside. He's like, these idiots down here. He's just going off on the whole state. And he goes, what about your state? And it's not like I was saying we're doing great. I think everyone's embarrassing themselves. He's like, that governor. He goes, real nice of him to shut everything down except his wine tasting room at Plump Jack. Like, he just keeps his open.
Right.
I was like, well, you know, you're in a
Memorial
position of
Day
power.
Weekend, 4th of July, he's still rolling, making
he's you like, know, every day on TV, telling everyone how to live and then just going in the other direction. It's, come on, man.
You're better than that. Come on, coach.
Jeez.
Yeah.
All right.
But Harden, those guys, they're not around it, JD.
Hold on. We promised JD. We promised JD he could give his breaking news if he was willing to go hot on Southern California, and he did. Would you agree?
Yeah.
All right, JD. You can go ahead and get. Do you want the breaking news sounder?
Give him some
news.
Yeah,
music, I think
Steven.
We should do it.
Let's go, nice guy.
95.7 The Game Breaking News. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Conference. Go listen at radio.com/Dell.
We have our first NBA player that has broken lockdown. That has
it just
broken
started.
Lockdown in the bubble. Tim McMahon of ESPN, Rockets forward Bruno Caboclo inadvertently broke quarantine and now must quarantine in his room for another 8 days before resuming activities. That's according to his sources and Zach Lowe's sources and Malik Andrews' sources and Tim Bontemps' sources. So apparently the same source texted all four of them. So Bruno Caboclo inadvertently broke quarantine, was somewhere he shouldn't have been, and has to stay in his room for a week.
McMahon continues, Caboclo left his room during the initial quarantine period. A source said he was unaware that he was not allowed to do so, despite the league informing all players and staff of the protocol. From the source, quote, he should have known it was no secret. You think? So, you think it was no secret? It's called a bubble, not a cruise.
So they can't leave their room. So they had to be in their room for a certain amount of time.
Right?
First 2 days, it was like a 36 to 48 hour period after arriving. You had to quarantine in your room, and then you were taking, I think, two tests. And if both tests came back negative over that point, you were cleared to go out and enjoy the bubble as much as you can do that and play basketball.
And that was why the meals were all being delivered in the fashion that they were being delivered,
right,
in, you know, cafeteria style trays from 1985. And why,
exactly,
everybody was saying it looked weird.
Because right, for those and then you days, have the nice guy Stevens of the world
meal.
Bashing
right.
it, saying it looks terrible. It's called quarantine. What yeah. do you want? They're not going to bring it on fine china. It's quarantine. You have to survive 2 days and then you move on. So this guy's now just in his room for 8 days. That's not going to go well. You can't be in a room for 8 straight days. Can you even open those hotel room, those windows?
No, can't go outside. Can't even walk out on the front porch. That's crazy, man.
No naked wrestling in the showers after practice, amongst other things.
That's weird.
I'm not the one who did it for 16 years in the NFL. That was you.
No.
And unfortunately, we're all out of time. Really ran up against the buzzer on that one. Wheel of Fun plus more nonsense. Coming back next here on...
Nonsense.
95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I tell you, that's right, Joe. That's right.
On 95.7 The Game.
An hour ago, we revealed the number 10 athlete on the fan vote for the top 10 Bay Area athletes of all time list. If you missed it, check it out on your radio.com app and use the rewind feature. Joe Low, John Dickinson here on 95.7 The Game. Hilarious moment on Family Feud. I believe it was just last night because it's popping everywhere. We're going to play that for you in a little bit. We got the Wheel of Fun as well. I was thinking about something earlier. I had it in the notes, and we hadn't gotten to it at all yet today. Should please Low because it revolves around LeBron James a little bit. But I was thinking to myself, James and the Lakers go into the bubble as the favorites to win the Western Conference. They're currently the one seeds in the Western Conference, and they are very, very close to Milwaukee as the overall favorite to win this thing, right? Milwaukee's the favorite. The Lakers are right there. The only reason I think Milwaukee gets the edge is that they've got the easier path in the Eastern Conference. So we get the news over the weekend that Rajon Rondo has broken his thumb. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Avery Bradley has already opted out for the Lakers as well. They brought in J.R. Smith to replace him. I'm wondering, what if LeBron doesn't win this thing? Because I think in the eyes of many, LeBron and the Lakers are going into this thing as well set up, as well equipped, as well prepared as anybody to go out and win this thing. They've already shown they're a dangerous team. They had a great regular season, and they're going down there focused. These reports that LeBron was running these 5-on-5 scrimmages throughout COVID, getting his team ready in violation of league rules, that these guys are going to show up ready to play, that they might have the edge. I'm thinking to myself, 7 years with Cleveland the first go-round, one trip to the finals, no titles. And then 4 years in Miami, telling everyone not five, not six, not seven, and then you only win two with one loss coming against Dallas in a major upset. Then you go back to Cleveland, you win one in 4 years against the Warriors, but during that time against the Warriors, they were like 5-15, I think, their record, 7-15. I've got it somewhere. I'm going to look it up. 7-15, yeah, against the Warriors in those 4 years. And now so far, 0-1 in L.A. with no playoffs. Like, this isn't to knock James Lowe. I know we make jokes on this show from time and time again, but he's got a ton of pressure on his shoulders to win this thing. Because if he wins it, everyone's going to put an asterisk on it. But if he loses it, it is going to be another piece of evidence used to knock him down.
Yeah, and it probably will be, Joe, because you have two major injuries. Well, one injury and one elected not to come. And your point guard is very, very important. Controlling tempo, controlling pace. Rondo did a great job of that. I don't know if they should be favored to win it. I think there's a lot of people out there, Joe. There's a huge narrative out there that the Clippers are probably the best team in the West. So I don't think that it's just a cakewalk for where you're just talking about the Lakers and LeBron to walk right through the finals. There's a lot of people. The majority of the money is coming on the Clippers.
But they are viewed by many as the favorites in the West, as one of the three teams that has the best shot of winning this thing. They've been practicing during the break. They've got a good team. I mean, him not winning is not going to be, oh, they just weren't the better team. Like, this is going to be another ding for him.
I don't know if it'll be a ding necessarily, Joe and JD. You got two guys. You got two Clippers. The Clippers, the reason why they're not this necessarily the starters are better than the Lakers, but it's the backup. Everyone's talking about the Clippers because they're long and they got depth. The Lakers, you're talking about two backup players now you don't have, so that means LeBron at 35 years old going to have to carry more of the load. I don't necessarily think that way. JD, do you understand the church that I'm in and what I'm trying to the message I'm trying to portray here?
I do, Lo, and look, the Lakers were the favorite when everything stopped on March 11th, and they deserve to be the favorite, at least in the Western Conference, over the Clippers. They were playing better basketball. They were more cohesive. The Clippers were running different lineups out there every single night. Kawhi would play two games, and then he would.
Every time they played the Lakers this year, JD, what happened? Every time the Clippers played them, the Clippers beat them.
The Clippers did beat them, but again, the Lakers are the better team. The Clippers are trying to figure some things out. Everything stops. Everybody gets a reset. So I think at that point, the two go back to even, and now you're taking pieces away from the Lakers. So right now, today, I would put the Clippers as the favorite over the Lakers. If I was going to pick this thing, if it had just gone straight through like normal and ended a month ago, I would have picked the Lakers over the Clippers. I would not do that if those two were going to play beginning next week.
I've been on the Clippers from the beginning, and I was just thinking about this. It's not fair to James. I'll be the first to admit that, but I can see where this is going to go. If they win the title, everyone's going to say, asterisk, Jordan never did it in a situation right like this. Most teams didn't care. This one doesn't count. But if he loses it, it's going to be another knock. Like, you're really starting to stack up a lot of shortcomings, whether it's his fault or not. I mean, again, 7 years in Cleveland the first time, one trip to the finals, lost. 4 years with Miami, hyped up to the point that they were going to win a ton of chips. They won 2 in 4 years. Now, they went to the finals 4 times, but they only won twice. The last one against the Spurs, they got boat raced out of the arena. They weren't even in that series. And that one against Dallas was a huge upset. He goes back to Cleveland for 4 years. He does get a big win against the Warriors, but he goes 7-15 against the Warriors in 4 NBA Finals appearances, goes to L.A., dons the jersey worn by Magic, by Kobe, by Kareem, by Worthy, and other greats, doesn't make the playoffs in year one, and if he goes down to the bubble and doesn't deliver in year two, it's another big ding, another one, especially in the year where we all watched Jordan's greatness, according to Michael Jordan and people who did what Michael Jordan told him to do, over a 10-part, 5-week series on ESPN. So I was thinking about that this morning. Like, he's in a lose-lose. Even the win isn't going to count like it should. And the loss, without question, is going to be used against him. Without question.
You're right.
Can't say I feel bad. I'll be also clear about that.
Can't say I feel bad. I should have known.
But it's good for him. I'm going to save my sympathy for other situations.
Well, to each his own, put it that way. He can't win. LeBron's always been in a situation, guys, that people don't necessarily give him the benefit of the doubt and try to make the playing feel even. This dynasty that we've seen in the Warriors, they go out and get Kevin Durant because of LeBron, which is great, and holds him off, stops him from winning another title.
I'm not sure that was the rationale. I think the rationale was just to get better. It's a great player, and they went out and signed him. That's all it was. It had nothing to do with James.
I can beg to differ, but I'm just saying, here's a guy that's going to be 9 finals, Joe. 9 in a row. Count them. Not one, not two. 9 NBA finals, JD. This is what this guy was able to do. I mean, I don't win, lose, or draw. Look at Buffalo. Buffalo in history, my God, 4 Super Bowls, didn't win, had Dallas. But here's a guy, for 9 years, it's been his. 9 years, it's LeBron and whoever, whatever team. That, I mean, don't you think, Jade, it's pretty fascinating and amazing that a guy, even though he didn't win them all, can go to the finals 9 times? Is that unheard of? Is that rare?
It is rare and it's impressive, but if he goes to a 10th and winds up 3-7, you're going to get knocked for that, especially in today's day and age. If you're 3-7 in the finals, that's not good.
Who's lost the most NBA finals in history? Could that be on his record? When it's all said and done, LeBron James lost in the NBA finals more than any player in NBA history.
I mean, Jerry West comes to mind as got to be up there.
We got to figure that one out. Well, that'd be a pretty good thing. Like, you know, lost more NBA finals than anyone in history.
I don't think it's for the lost show that he wants to. It's just a lot of guys can't say they got there, right? Right?
Yeah. I mean, I can't say it. I've never played the NBA finals.
Right. And there's a lot of guys who have played in the NBA and made it to the finals once. I mean, there's a lot of legends.
Adam Morrison's got a ring.
There's a lot of guys out there.
He's a champion like LeBron.
How many KD? How many has he played in?
KD is three.
Four?
He played in. Yeah. I'm sorry. He played in four. He played
three
in
three with the Warriors and one with OKC.
Right. Okay.
Two,
yeah.
Two and two.
Right. And who else? Who's some great players? Steph. How many he play in? Who's great players?
Five.
Guys? Okay. Let's talk about all the great players. Let's see how many they played in.
There's Magic a, LeBron's played got, in what? Nine.
I'd rather.
Magic,
I'd rather.
He got
rather
nine.
Not
no, don't
go,
give me you rather.
I'd rather not
true.
Go
that's
than go and
that's
lose.
A lie. You know
100%
what? That's
true.
A lie. No, it's not. I hear everyone says that. Well, I don't. If I can't win a Super Bowl, I don't want. No, you know that's not true. The experience of getting there. That's,
Coach, that let me tell you something. A team
hit
of
the text
babies,
line 9595.
A team of babies could go to the NBA Finals and lose.
No, it can't.
Do I look like a baby? No, I'm a grown man.
Can
not
you guys please hit the text line and tell me, do you
They're
guys agree with Joe?
You, okay?
No.
No one on the text line is going to defend you when you defend
I'm asked
LeBron.
JD. Then I'm asked. I'm not defending LeBron.
He's
I'm not,
all I'm hot about Southern California. He's not even focused right now. He's
I'm asking JD.
With government you, across the board.
You made a statement. It's not about nothing to do with LeBron. And that's what I'm – the text line, these are good people that's going to hit. JD, where are you at on that?
Oh, my God. Low, wipe your mouth.
JD.
From the 925, can someone tell Lowe that it's hard to hear him while he's swishing LeBron's bathwater? Oh, that's
I'm
gross.
Not. Let's not take LeBron out of this. Do you go into the, would you ever go to a final or never go at all?
I'd rather go to a finals than lose.
Thank
than never
you.
Go at all.
He's, Thank
he's,
you.
He's
that's
lying.
Just sick. That's preposterous,
a
Joe,
baby
what you're saying.
Could go to the finals and
but
lose.
But I guarantee you you'll
could
lose.
Go to the finals and lose.
I guarantee you you'll lose this on the text line, though.
He's and getting crushed. Text line's just committing. I can't make that joke. We're not in the situation where I can make that joke
not
right
five,
now.
Not five, not six, not
yeah.
seven.
Like some of these are just, they're a lot of people saying they agree with Joey courtside. Yeah, it's natural. I appreciate it. I don't
I'm not talking about LeBron, people. Why don't you hit the text line the right way? I'm not talking
You'd
about
rather
LeBron.
Rather not go to the finals than go and lose. Anybody can lose in NBA finals. Literally anyone.
No, that's no,
Anybody
they can't. They can't get, Joe. They can't get there.
Oh, that's a different story. I'm just talking about losing in the finals. I can lose in the NBA finals. JD can lose in the NBA finals. You can lose in the NBA finals. Bron loses in the NBA finals. It can be done. It can be done. It's not a high benchmark to lose in the NBA finals. You know what's impressive? Winning in the NBA finals. That's what's impressive. Now, I got something for you specially. Do you want to hear
Please.
It? It's not a joke.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to appreciate this.
Am I?
Last night, I think so. You're going to have to listen, though, because it's an audio piece. Last night, in an episode of Family Feud, it was the NFLPA Hall of Famers. It included Michael Irvin, Chris Carter, Bruce Smith, the famous pass rusher, the all-time sack leader. You're going to need to remember that name because Bruce Smith is in the final showdown, whatever the hell they call it. It's not the showdown, but whatever the end of Family Feud is. You get
I got
point.
It. The 20
so seconds.
Give
fast
20
money,
seconds.
Joe.
Fast, fast money.
The win of 20,000,
Okay, fast money. Fast so it's money. NFLPA Hall of Famers versus NFLPA Rising Stars. I should have just gone further down this list. Nice guy gave me the whole thing. The NFL Rising Stars team was Courtland Sutton, Marlon Humphrey, Darius Leonard, and Aaron Jones. The Hall of Fame team was Orlando Pace, Michael Irvin, Kevin Green, and Bruce Smith. I think Chris Carter was in there too, but I may have been wrong, but that doesn't matter.
I missed out on Chris Carter and Damian Williams for the Rising Stars as well.
Yeah, because usually 5-on-5, but
Thanks,
all right.
Steven.
You did a great job. Nice guy.
Yes, Steven.
So Bruce Smith is in the fast money here at the end. I want you to take a listen to him and host Steve Harvey as well. Fire the audio.
If Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
Tell me the age a kid is too old to sleep with a what the did he say?
Hey,
Well, come on, we can't start this again.
I don't know what's better, the answer or the reaction.
Hey, I gotta see that. Hey, we gotta see that. I wish I had the visual because Steve Harvey's mouth, he must have just dropped his mouth. That was last night.
You can just go on Twitter or somewhere else and just search Family Feud. It'll come right up. Harvey doesn't miss a beat. He keeps going, and then he immediately drops that. It's perfect. The look on his face is perfect. He does not react when he hears it. Here it is again, Bruce Smith, Fast Money, Family Feud, last night on with Steve Harvey.
If Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
Tell me the age a kid is too old to sleep with a tech. What the he said?
For those who can't see on the Zoom, Lowe's losing it right now.
He got shook up. He did. Came to him. He was like, "Man, oh, Captain Hook, man, it was a tool, bro. Why not a screwdriver, a saw, a wrench."
Bruce Smith. Oh my God. Penis. What's the funnier part? Bruce Smith saying penis or Steve Harvey doing what he does?
Steve Harvey for the win.
Steve Harvey for the win. Sure. Harvey's like, what the? He read the next question, and then he said, what the? Did you say?
All right. So, look, we got Wheel of Fun coming up. I want to hear it one more time because it's that good, because Lowe's reactions have been fantastic. Steve Harvey, Family Feud last night. Bruce Smith representing the NFLPA Hall of Famers. Take a listen.
If Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
Tell me the age a kid is too old to sleep with a tech. What the he said? Well, come on, we can't start this again.
Guys, I just grabbed some great sound from Michael Irvin, too, on one of the questions. You want to hear this one?
Yeah. Is this from earlier in the show, or is this after the Bruce Smith thing?
Yeah, this was from earlier in the show.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, fire that.
Name a place in your house size of bedroom you made love in.
Steve?
I know he's going to get this one.
I have to say.
I know my guy.
See, let me ask the question, Chris. Go ahead. Now, listen. Uh-huh. I have to say. My office. She played the assistant.
Holy moly. I love you, baby.
What did it score? Or did he get a strike for that?
Not even sure. I didn't even go past that, but I just found that part.
It sounds like a risque version of Family Feud last night.
Very
you probably
risque.
Didn't want the kids watching this.
Oh, my God.
Family Feud after dark.
Right.
All right, nice guy. Spin the Wheel of Fun.
It is the Wheel of Fun here with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Of course, JD is in for Dibs. So ESPN is dedicating a lot of their time to the Madden ratings that came out for the new Madden football game. And the rookies, they got all their ratings, and it's pretty fun to watch all that stuff. But Henry Ruggs from the Las Vegas Raiders, he got a speed rating of 98. Now, that eclipsed every other athlete, 98 on his speed rating. What would your speed rating be if it were to be rated on Madden? JD, I'll start with you. What number would you put your speed at?
65.
Really?
What's the lowest? Is the lowest zero?
The lowest is in the 40s, I believe.
Yeah, you'd think that if you asked this question, you would understand the criteria yourself so you could explain it to us when we asked the follow-up.
No, wow. I didn't expect any follow-up. Just answer the damn question, please.
Ah!
All right. So,
not, Not fast. 65. I mean, we were talking about me doing a 640, so it's, yeah,
I can't 65. Drive 55. 65, all right?
Flo, what about you?
Is 65 slow?
Mine would be, yeah. Mine's probably in the high 70s. I'd say 80. Give me an 80.
An 80?
Yeah, I'm probably, my speed's
these
probably
guys are fast, man, and 98's a really high one. 65 in general is pretty fast. Like Mitch Wishnowski.
Think of it.
See, that's the problem with this stupid question. No one has any idea what the context is. We don't know what's considered
fast. What am I?
You're
on the game. What am I on the game?
Answer.
Yeah.
Think,
come on.
Think of it, Joe, like the old school like grading system where like 90 to 100 is an A. 80 to 90 is a B. 70s are a C. 60s are a D.
I'd be an 89. I'd be an 89.
Oh, gee.
What, just,
5'3".
I gave you an answer.
5'3". You were 5'3" the other day. I'm a Stephen. I'm a C. When JD, the way you gave me those ratings, I'd be a C. That's what Stephen. What's my rating?
77.
Yeah.
77. Yeah.
77, baby.
Handing the ball to Lowe, it's in the video game. It takes forever for him to get to the line of scrimmage. You know the play's going to get blown
really?
Up.
Really?
It's like third and two, and the quarterback gives him the ball, and it's like, oh, my God, this guy's taking forever.
I went
like
70.
You with Vic,
I went plus 70.
So fast.
I went plus 70. I broke a touchdown. I went for over 70. Went for over 68. Touchdown. No one came and got me.
That's like 50 years ago. Was it when you had that?
I'm not even 50 years
was it like
old.
50 years ago?
Oh no! I was Deion was in the league. You think Deion's? He's pretty fast. He couldn't come get me. It was against Atlanta. 73 yards.
Holla!
Is that the one where you kept trucking with your legs and you just broke free from the pile and sprinted down the field?
Yes, sir.
Touchdown.
Yes,
great
sir.
Touchdown.
Yeah, I let your boy JD.
That's
and I'm disappointed.
That
and
plays
I'm disappointed.
All heart.
Yes, and I'm disappointed both you two guys too. By the way,
for what?
Before you guys are mentioning, if you could go back to an era or be in a one game to see something, Macklin Sefton over the Music City Miracle. You guys, no one even mentioned the Music City Miracle.
Who wants to go back in time to see a wild card game?
JD, say something. Thank you.
No, I just
say it, JD.
I always remember that game because that game was actually on my birthday.
And thank you. So why would you say that was that game 17 seconds on the clock? And how big that was? Come on.
I'm not going back in time
top
to see
five
the Bills lose
in the
a playoff game. If I'm going to go see the Bills lose a playoff game, I got four Super Bowls to choose from. I'm not going back to a wild card game that wasn't even that good. Rob Johnson.
It wasn't.
If I can go back in time to see any sporting event, I'm going to pick the Bills and Rob Johnson losing to the Titans in the wild card round. No one's picking that. And you're not even picking that. And you know it. Not even Dyson's picking it or Wycheck.
What?
Nobody.
Pretty good.
You're not picking that game.
So what was your thing that you'd rather to see? Come on.
Well, the first one I thought of was game 7 of the ALCS when the Sox came back to beat the Yankees. That's one people have heard of. That's a Titans-Bills wild card game.
Joe.
That's a Saturday morning game. You know how I feel about those. Yeah.
I'm going to leave it alone, JD. I'm going to leave it alone.
It was. And you know what? I'll be
that
honest.
That play, that was a hell of a game.
That was my 19th birthday, and it was a hell of a game. But to Joe's point, I think I like slept through the first half because it started at 10 o'clock.
Everybody remembers the
Thanks
final play because we turned it on because we were getting ready for the next playoff game. We were getting ready for the next playoff game, which is probably one we cared about.
Really?
And it's like, I might as well catch the end of this Oilers-Bills game. And then there's a guy like, it's not the Oilers, it's the Titans. It's like, whatever, just get this thing done with. Why is Rob Johnson starting in a playoff game?
I would have gone to LT breaking the touchdown single season record.
When Lowe fell down, that's a good one.
Exactly.
Or the one when Lowe got laid out by the Raider linebacker, that's another good one.
All right, fellas, I do have to interrupt this wheel
Spin
of fun.
Spin the wheel, man.
We do have some breaking news here, and this is from Shams Charania on Twitter. But the breaking news is that Rockets guard Russell Westbrook says he has tested positive for coronavirus and is in quarantine.
Coronavirus!
JD got it right!
JD got it right!
That reckless diagnosis he gave earlier turned out to be right, so he can't be... No harm, no foul there.
I mean,
JD, how'd you know about the coronavirus?
Because Mike D'Antoni gave the classic answer. Well, those guys are dealing with what everybody's dealing with, and like, I can't tell you why they're not here. But they're dealing with what, you know, people are dealing with right now. I mean, that can only be one thing.
I'll get my test back tomorrow see if I got the corona. I was
When'd you get a test
Friday,
taken?
Friday. Friday.
Tomorrow's Tuesday. Afternoon. You feel like that doesn't really feel like it's moving all that quick.
It's today. I'm sorry. I get it today. I get priority. It was priority. So Friday, I took
like priority
Friday
boarding o'clock. With Southwest.
Joe,
priority
I took it Friday at 5 o'clock. Stephen, why you hit the bill?
What?
What? You know what? I took it Friday at 5 o'clock. So I should know this afternoon.
Looking back on, well, good luck. Is that what I do here? I've never talked to anyone waiting on coronavirus results. Do I wish you good luck? Hope it works out well for you. Are we surprised? He plays in the state of Texas. JD, I think you made a very educated guess there. Nicely done.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. Russell Westbrook.
We'll see if James Harden's the other part of that, because, again, neither one of them made the flight with the rest of the team. I mean, no shame. It's just what everybody's dealing with, like Mike D'Antoni said.
They tested them before they got on the plane, so think they were like, that's okay.
They didn't go
JD.
With the rest of the team. Yeah,
so they
exactly.
Tested them before they left,
and even guys that got tested and were positive like 2 weeks ago didn't go with their teams either. When their teams went in the last week or so, they had to join late after they quarantine and after they get 2 negative tests.
All right. Well,
by the way, Jerry West 8 finals losses. I looked that up. Jerry West 8 finals losses.
Thank you for doing that. So that's probably the record. And LeBron's got how many finals losses? Was he at 7? 6? He'll get there.
Elgin Baylor 7. LeBron James 6. LeBron is 3rd.
Keep your head down, LeBron. You can break that record. You can lose more finals than anybody else. That's it. We're done.
Thank God.
JD, always a pleasure working with you. Thanks for coming on the Fill In for Dibs. Bonte Steiny, Guru, coming up next. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.